Well, it's my great pleasure to finally welcome into the studio Bert Verrill. And I say finally because we've been working on making sure that the technology keeps up with the people. Welcome, Bert.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What we're doing here is a series of interviews with candidates in contested races for the Alaska legislature to be voted on November 8th. And we invite you to do a particular thing as we walk through these questions, and that is to identify your own purpose for running as you think about these topics. That's the thread that we'd like to keep going here. So first question, how do you see yourself working with others in the Alaska State Legislature? And might as well throw in the second part to that, which is, do you collaborate well across what are called ideological divides?
I want to thank you for giving the listeners a chance to learn who their candidates are. The reason I'm even in the race is because cooperation and consensus and bipartisanship, which I feel are essential to governing, are not happening in this legislature. Do you remember a headline from the Frontiersman earlier this year that accused Jim Culver of bipartisanship? I laughed at that, and at the same time, I thought it was very sad because why is this an accusation? Isn't consensus and cooperation and bipartisanship a part of governing? To work with people across aisles, what we've had has been, I consider, ruling and not governing, and part of my life experience working between management and labor at MTA is you might have different ideas, but you have to find some common middle ground. And I think that there's plenty of room to find that middle ground in the state house and in the state government as a whole. I also want to point out that this is one of the differences, big differences between Mayor Johnson and me is she's married to her party, and I am able, as an independent, to go down and work with everybody without have to worry about being put in timeout like Representative Reinbold or being culvered by the party like he was this year.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the answer for question number one. Second question, what is your perspective on the way the legislature functions currently? And if you believe there should be changes, what, if any, do you propose?
I'm glad you put perspective in the question because having not been there, I can only from the outside how I feel it works in Juneau. I always assumed that people on both sides went down to Juneau and they started working together, discussed the items of the day. But I found out since I started running for this, talking to the minority leader, that they don't even talk. They don't meet together. They don't exchange ideas. They very rarely see each other in Juneau, and I just don't think that that is the way to govern. They don't respect any point of view, it seems like. The party in control doesn't respect any point of view but the one that the party tells them to. And if the minority came up with an idea for sliced bread, unless they got a co-signer from the majority, the idea would be ignored. And I just think that we can do better than that. The best ideas to serve the people of Alaska need to be heard no matter who they come from or what the idea is. I can remember years ago when Senator DeVries represented us, she had on the House floor said, hey, what about this idea? This gentleman has a great idea. And she was shushed on the House floor because she didn't understand, being new, that you don't bring up the minority's ideas on the House floor. So that's something I hope that we could get back. The second question about coalitions, that coalition is another name for division. And the division that we've had in this legislature has led to 7 sessions in 2 years. And I hope that they're asking themselves, you know, what's best for everybody and how can we get there? I think I'd like to have 1 coalition or 3 divisions. 1 coalition of everybody working together on the House floor, open discussions, no more backroom dealings, or 3 divisions, your majority party, your minority party, and some kind of independent party where nobody has enough votes. And so in order to get something to happen, somebody's going to have to negotiate You know, if it takes three or if you can do it all at one, it's kind of the same thing. Another thing that gives me heartburn down there is that districts aren't treated the same. I found this out once I started running. Each district is divided into about the equal amount of people. But if you happen to be in the minority, you don't get the same staffing that the majority does. Yet your district is the same amount of people. So they're being denied access to legislative information simply because they put the wrong person in office the way that it's seen by the majority in Juneau. I would like to see everybody in the legislature, in the House and the Senate, have the same number of staff to help with the people of their district and to allow equal access. And I'd also like that number to be one less staff person than they all averaged last year.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering question number two. And number three, and you've begun a discussion of this already, but a little bit more on how you view your relationship with political parties. And as part of that, do you view political parties or ideology as influences either hampering or facilitating the work of the legislature? Talk a little bit more about that.
I've had a relationship with the Republican Party for 34 years. I couldn't wait to vote for Gerald Ford. I was only sad I couldn't vote for Richard Nixon because I was too young. But the big business Republicans that I grew up with, it was simple. You worked 40 years for a company, you got a gold watch, and you got a pension. And you could count on the big business Republicans being for small government, strong defense, and a partnership with big business and workers. Well, in the 80s, it started to change, and the pension started to go away. Corporate greed kind of took over. Jobs went overseas as they searched for more and more profit. And the worker who had been a partner with big business before now became an expense. And as they tried to cut the cost and maximize profits, we fell into where I was finally chased out of my own party. And so they started to shrink, and they forced out people that didn't measure up to the most conservative litmus test that the party had to offer. So I left the Republican Party about 6 years ago, and I've been independent ever since. This was never some kind of disguise to, you know, disguise myself as an independent and hide myself from any other thing. I've always been a conservative guy, but I just have a little bit more open-mindedness than the most conservative of our party. You know, still to my core beliefs that I've had my whole life, small government and fiscal conservancy and people working to help themselves, I still have those core beliefs. But I have a strong support for public education. I have a strong support. I don't think the men and women who work for an hourly wage and get a paycheck every 2 weeks for doing a job are the reason that the state finances are in the condition that they're in. And so that is another distinction between me and the party. As far as ideology, you know, we have people on the right and we have people on the left, but most of us end up somewhere in the middle, and a middle earth human being, conservative, compassionate, and open-minded. You know, we have to realize that we got to encompass everyone in to make it work. So, you know, I'm more a member of the human party.
Okay, thank you. And question number four, how do you reach constituents and your potential constituents, especially those feeling out of the public policy conversation, or even those that may feel disenfranchised, or even those who will vote for your opponent? And along with that, finally, what do you think is more important, voting based on your constituents' concerns or your own conscience?
You know, I've learned a lot since I started this campaign, listening to people. At first, I thought people wanted to meet me so they could hear what I was about, but really what they wanted to tell me was what they were about. And I accept that. I understand that. I've done some of everything in this race. You know, I've done traditional campaigning where I've knocked on doors, and I got the feeling that Alaskans don't like strangers coming to the door. And one of the things you do in politics is you go in a group of people when you knock on doors. So imagine a woman at home with two men coming to the door that she doesn't know. So I thought that there should be a better way. So I'm trying to be visible at all public events, Chamber of Commerce. I've been to every home football game that I can go to, put signs up, made myself available. But that's the political running of a race. As a legislator, I think the social media offers us a great opportunity through Facebook. That's the only thing I'm on is Facebook, email, and cell phones and texting. We have immediate contact with everybody, everybody in the district. I've put my own personal phone number, my own personal post office box number. That's on all of my campaign literature. That's me. That's not somebody else or some surrogate. That's me. Who knows? If it gets really busy, I might have to change my phone number. And you could take a look at my website, of course. And something I've done different to reach out to voters is I've been writing voters just to say, you know, I'm a real guy and I really would like to work for you in Juneau. And I've sent out 1,500 postcards, handwritten, not machine written, not made to look real. My fingers are blistered, folks. I'm really writing those cards, and I have about 1,000 more to go. You can look me up at Bird in the House at MTA Online or birdinthehouse.com. That's the best way to get a hold of me. My phone number's out there. Constituents or conscience was the second part of the question. And I'm smart enough to realize I don't have all the answers. And I've also met people who, if elected, I thought, you know what, when I need some information about education, or if I need some education or my own education about a business problem, these are the people that I would like to talk to, my own little think tank of people across party lines, Republicans and Democrats. And I would seek out advice from them. And, you know, I think when you have to make a hard decision and you can make the decision and not lose sleep on it, some people consider that an answer to prayer, you know, but that's how I would make a tough decision. If it was clear enough in my mind that I didn't lose sleep over it after I made the decision and the vote, that would be good enough for me.
Okay. Mike Malevsky here talking with Bert Verrill. He's running for the Alaska State House. We have just a few moments left. If you have any final comments you'd like to make, go for it.
I've learned a lot. I've been running for this for 5 months now, learning as I go, getting better every day. I'd appreciate your support. I hope the frustration that got me off the couch and got me running, that some of you might have felt the same thing with our current legislature and the 7 sessions that they've presided over in the last 2 years. I'd like to bring a working man's attitude down to Juneau and work until the work is done and not have short weeks and fly home for coffee. I believe we should go down there and get the work done. I think the House should set an example for what should be expected around the state by trimming our budget, freezing pay, freezing hiring, and then ask other Alaskans to make the same sacrifices. As we figure out a way to tiptoe through this fiscal calamity that we're in and try to make some of the tough decisions that the previous House has not made, you know, everybody be patient. There's going to be a little bit of everything that everybody doesn't like, but we got to pull together and we'll get through it. And I'd appreciate your support on Election Day. And if you have any questions, you can reach me at Bird in the House at MTAOnline.net. And thanks to the radio station. Thanks, Big Cabbage, for letting me talk to the voters.
All right. You're welcome.